Frederick had some events happen in his life that hit him hard, right in the mental health. But instead of letting it get him down, he used it to fuel his mission. Soon after recovery, he realized there needed to be someone who could advocate for people who struggle in the same way, and in a way that resonates with them. None of this high-flying double talk and putting on airs of superiority. It's deep connection with people and letting them know that, hey, I've been there too. He started The Message LLC as a public speaker, talking with schools about why America is unhealthy, and more recently, how the pandemic has uncovered things about how we handle mental health that society can't sweep under the rug. When stigma outweighs education, destigmatizing this subject is the key to change. Frederick does that. If you're concerned about mental health, find out more about his mission by visiting themessagellc.com or finding him on LinkedIn and Instagram. Let's listen to the journey now. Too often we forget like what we have these days, and it's easy to forget. It's easy to get just into this like, oh my goodness, I gotta get the day to day, and it's like, right, right. Take a step back and look at how you're blessed, man. I can Absolutely. Tell, yeah, I can tell by your attitude, man. You're one of those. You're like, all right, and I am too. So, excellent. You got yes. any cool? You got anything cool things going on this weekend? You gonna hang at home? You gonna get out and do some stuff? What you got going on?
Well, I'm in mourning because I'm a Packer fan. So I'm in a state of mourning. So actually, the weekend before the Super Bowl, usually I'm excited to see the Super Bowl because your team obviously can't go every year.
Right.
But this year is a little bit different. So this weekend is a lot. I'm working on my first book. I'm also, like I said, I'm taking 18 credits at Westchester University, where I'm blessed to be an honor student, which includes an internship. On top of that, I'm involved in the Clubhouse app. I'm doing a meeting about being your inner self, being true to yourself. Just staying busy, staying working, staying well read up, those things. And obviously, you know, being a family man, being blessed to have a family, and just trying to stay above water.
Yeah, man. But you're living the life. You're living yes. the life, and you're living life on your own terms. I love that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you're like the fifth person in a row, literally, that's been talking about Clubhouse. Like, what am I missing out on here being an Android user? Like, is it a lot of fun? I feel like a dunce. Like, what?
So if you would have asked me this pre-business, I would have gave you a different answer. But okay. What my business has taught me, everything is marketing. Right. Marketing, mm-hmm. any platform I can get on, any networking.
Yep.
So Clubhouse, I don't even have an Android. A friend of mine who's blessed to have a Facebook ad company is doing very well, just moved to Atlanta, sent it to me because it's invite only. My wife has an iPhone. Mm-hmm. So I go on her phone every once in a while and jump in. And basically, I'm in the mental health and substance use field. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that. And because of the world we're living in, COVID has exposed how bad mental health is right now. I think the world is really, because since COVID, overdoses have gone up and so have suicide rates. So the world is starting to realize how important mental health is. So now more people are talking about it. So that's what I do wonder.
Okay, got it. You know, and that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize either is there's a really big toll that's taken with being closed up all the time, being away from other people. Yep. And I am not surprised. I mean, I've seen the numbers. People are depressed more than ever yep. right now. And it's like, you know, I wish that things would just open back up for that reason. You know, I can go without going to Panera for coffee for forever. Right. I got a coffee pot, but I'm more concerned about people like not faring well because they're just isolated from other people. So man, well, so is that what your business does? Is that the space you're in with your business, or is that something totally different?
No, that's what I do. So I've been blessed. I have a motivational speaking company. It's called The Message LLC.
Okay.
I travel the country as a national keynote speaker, and I speak at conferences. I hold high school assemblies, and I speak to collegiate student bodies. And I speak on, I do workshops on mental health and substance use disorder. And I also share my story. And that's how my story is how I got into this. And I saw a need because as you were saying, people don't talk about it. And the bottom line is stigma outweighs education. And mm-hmm. because of that stigma, people will suffer in silence. And that does nobody any good. So one of the things and my wife is an RN, and she works in appeals, and she deals with a lot of mental health cases. And one of the things that we're seeing in America right now is that America's unhealthy.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID happening was like throwing gasoline on a fire, because you're throwing a pandemic on top of an already unhealthy, unstable country. So you add in COVID, boom. Yep. Now all of a sudden we're seeing all these mental health issues, which they were always there. Mm-hmm. But when you take away money, you take away the ability for people to work, you take away the ability for people to feed their families, you take away things that people don't think about. Me and my wife have had a system where I go to work, she stays home, or my wife goes to work, I stay home. We've had that system for 15, 20 years, and now that system is broken.
Yeah.
There's just a lot that I think most people don't understand. So,
yeah. They don't. And it, for years, I've thought, you know, we're basically playing a game of Jenga in this country. I know the U.S. has got right. And it's like, we're constantly just kind of tapping away at bricks. And I hope this doesn't. And COVID just like took a brick out, and it's like, oh, this is really unstable. And, you know, for all the crappy things that have happened, though, I mean, the fact that it's revealing things that, okay, now this is an urgent problem. And we need to do something about it, because it's 10x worse than it ever was. We can't just sweep it under the rug and be like, we don't need to talk about this. It's like, no, you need to friggin' talk about it, like yesterday. So, I mean, that's one good thing. So, you know, the fact that this is at the forefront of people's minds now, they're going to do something about it. Seems like people don't ever respond to anything unless it gets painful enough for them to say, yeah, this really sucks. I need to do something about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And I think part of that discussion is, unfortunately, until the unaffected are affected, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think there has to be people in the room that make policy that their daughter shot heroin in her neck,
mm-hmm.
right? Or right. like their wife committed suicide, for them to care about the issues at hand. And
right.
I think that's the unfortunate part, is that people have to be affected by something before they care about it.
Right.
And I think another thing, too, is we have to remember how this country was built. It wasn't built to talk about mental health. It wasn't built to talk about things like that. We
right.
live in a capitalistic society. It's always money first.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is it's not reality, because, as you know, health is wealth. How do I know that? Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, Robin Williams, bless their souls, bless their hearts. All rich, all legends, all intelligent, all changed the fabric of their institutions. All mm-hmm. gone.
Yep.
Mental health. So yep. hopefully things will start resonating and people will start changing the conversation.
I hope so. And there's a growing number. I'd say probably about 10% of the guests I have on this particular podcast, they're involved somehow in the mental health space. And in fact, I've had two people that are really, really deep into the substance abuse and the addiction side of things. And it's like, right. you know, I'm just out there, you know, getting a clean sample from, you know, whoever wants to be on the show. And it's like, that's still a significant percentage of people. So this is a big problem. Well, how did you decide to start up? Like, I mean, I know your background and stuff. I mean, it's like you ended up this way, but like, was there some kind of a catalyst that said, I need to get out there and fix this problem for the world. I need to make a mark. Like, how did you decide to do what you're doing?
Great question. One that I really don't get asked a lot. Bottom line, I've been abusing. My first time I ever got high, I was 9 years old. It was on my asthma inhaler, right?
Yeah.
And my mom went to treatment when I was in third grade. She went once. By God's grace, she's never relapsed. She has 26 years clean. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in this. Fast forward years of untreated mental health and addiction, I end up almost 5 years ago, downtown homeless, dumpster diving, begging for change, spiritually dead, mentally gone. And I was awakened. I was saved by a stranger, enter treatment. I get in treatment, and when I get out, I'm really hurt. Why am I hurt? Because I see a need for people to be able to recover. And there's not enough avenues. And I don't think that that's right nor fair. So what I realized is, once I got an education and I saw these opportunities for conferences and to do workshops and to speak at schools, I said, wait a minute. I didn't dig in that dumpster just for me. I dug in that dumpster so that no other child would have to. I have to share my story.
Right.
So I start, that's where I went on Google, looked up how do you do an LLC. I created an LLC, and then before I knew it, I'm speaking as a national keynote speaker now.
I love it. I love it. You know, that's something that that I was just talking about recently with someone. They said, you know, starting a business is the easiest thing. Just, you go to the Secretary of State website, it costs $61.25, mm-hmm. and you do it. Keeping it going is the tricky part, but starting it is just, yes. You push a button, man. It's yes. so easy.
People have, I used to say this, and it's something I learned. I could attain anything, but mm-hmm. I couldn't maintain it because the foundation was wrong.
Right.
And what I've learned about the business is, it's not, I tell people all the time, you see the glory, but you don't know the story. It's not the speaking part that's hard. What's hard is the 2 a.m. emails. What's hard is emailing literally 100 schools, hearing back from 3 of them, and I got to close 3 deals. What's hard is when I might have to speak to an audience of 5th graders, and then I got to speak to an audience of teachers, and I have to code switch, and I have to understand how to speak. That's the things that are, it's not the actual event. It's the behind the scenes stuff that people don't see that's really hard to do this job.
Yeah. Well, it's something that grows you as a man, as a business owner. Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure it's getting easier. You know, it's either getting easier or you're able to take on harder and harder things. Like, you know.
Well, that's a good question. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So I've never been at a conference where I've had even remotely close to the highest degree in a room. These conferences and the education and the things I do to speak, normally they want a master's, they want a double doctorate, or they want you to have books published.
Mm-hmm.
But the line of work I'm in, I have an experience that the book just can't teach you. I have real life lived experience. So, and I've been blessed to be able to communicate, so they can't deny the talent. Where I found it to be hard is that I'm actually trailblazing, because mm-hmm. I'm creating a new space for people that have the talent but don't have the degree to be able to speak at these places. So that's why I tell people it's hard, is that I have to sit in a room and everybody in this room's resume is better than mine. Everybody in this room is published and they can speak a language I can't speak. I have to have the stature and the self-esteem to know I'm meant to be here. I'm intelligent enough to be here. I can communicate. And the only difference between me and you is that you started before me. But that took work to build my self-esteem up to that point. That took work to know that line between humbleness and being confident. And those are the things you talk about growing as a man, that you just don't know what you don't know. I didn't know that coming in. And if I'd have knew that, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Man, this is getting me juiced up, bud. I hope I can make it through this podcast without being like, yeah. I'm going to go to the gym and lift. Yeah. Right. Do 100 squats or something. I'm pumped. I've been drinking green tea all day, you know?
No doubt. I'm drinking 70 ounces of water right now too.
Oh man. I'd be peeing all day. I don't know how people do that. I drink 10 gallons.
My wife drinks a gallon. Well, the reason is water, you know, it's the best resource, right? If you get the right stuff, you know?
Yeah. I hear you. I drink a gallon of coffee. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts. There's water in that.
It doesn't. I mean, there's water. There's water in there.
And yeah, absolutely.
About the same amount comes out. So we're
absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I love it. Well, so you hit on something really important, right? So you're talking really about imposter syndrome. And a lot of owners struggle with that. And I mean, for what it's worth, as you're sharing your story, it's like, yeah, you got all these other people that they've written books and they've gotten accolades, all this stuff. And it's like, you know what? You bring a unique perspective to the table. No one else like that is going to have your experience. You lived it. They can write about it. They can theorize about it, but you lived it. You actually know what it's like. You know what it's like on that other side. I can't imagine why that wouldn't be a perspective that people would want to hear. You know, it's like, why would they not, you know?
Well, you have to understand, I agree with you 1,000%. And I had to learn this early. So I'm a Christian. I don't hide that. Not a perfect Christian at all. I fall short daily, but I am a Christian.
Same.
My belief system.
Same.
Right. What I learned very early is, and I'll tell you a story. I was blessed to be, I don't want to say the conference because I don't want to make the conference look bad, but I was blessed to be at this national conference. Mm-hmm. And I was at this a meeting with a provost and higher ed administrators. And I gave the lady my elevator pitch, told her my name, who I was, what I do. And she says to me, young man, what are you doing keynoting and you don't have your doctorate yet? And when she said that, it alerted me to the space that I'm in and to some of the thinking that's in here. So I realized real early that I am here because I'm good enough and I am me. There's a reason God put me here, because I have a story that can resonate with these kids. And what I've learned, and I'm going to be real honest with you, check when I go to speak, I got to check the resume and the ego at the door. Because what's going to resonate with these kids, what's going to resonate with these students is not the doctorate I got. It's who I am as a human being, what I've been through, and how I can help them get through that. Now, how I present that PhD is what gets them. But I've seen people get paid thousands. And I've been at conferences with some of the top, and I've been at places. Trust me when I tell you, when them students are sitting there, the one that gets up there and their diction's all crazy and they're just doing oral gymnastics and all that stuff, they don't get the love. The people that get the love and say, hey, I know what it feels like. I'm you. I ate out that dumpster. I know what it means to have to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul. I get that you want to eat out this week, but you got an electric bill due. I understand what it feels like to take care of your mom and your sister and you got food stamps and you don't know which way is left. I get it. Those are the people that get love.
Yeah. They do. Well, you're connecting with them on a much deeper level. Like everybody yes. else is like speaking up here. And it's not that they're trying to like pull people up to their level. They're like, you should listen to me because I'm up here. One day right. this could be you. And in your approach, again, just the uniqueness of it is like you're at their level. You're connecting yep. with them on their level. You're going to, I mean, that's like public speaking 101. If you don't connect with yep. the audience, you're going to lose them. You're going to, you may win their minds, but you're not going to win their hearts, and they're not going to convince anybody of anything. And it's a shame, but I'm glad you've got that figured out, because a lot of people don't, man.
Well, and let me just tell you, to your point, I think that's a big deal going on right now with this new generation and older generation. It's yeah. because the older generation always says this newer generation, da, da, da. And I'm saying, well, first of all, who raised them? Let's be real. Second of all, instead of looking at our differences, why don't we look at our commonalities?
Right.
And I think that's people don't want to check the ego at the door. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you get more bees with honey. I can't speak in high schools or speak to the youth if I always come in there with that inflated, this is how it is, and I'm from the older generation. Well, for real, if you're from the older generation, I'd be quiet, because look at the world we're in right now. How mm-hmm. about that?
Right. Checkmate, boomers.
But they don't want to hear that, though. You know what I mean? They, you know how it is. You know.
I do. I know how it is. It's a conversation that I have with a lot of people. I mean, and every generation's been like that. You know, you got the yes. previous generation. Oh, these kids these days. Rah, rah, rah. I mean, somebody said that to me and my business partner the other day at the Chinese food place. And the dude heard the last, like, one-third of a conversation.
Yeah.
And he made a judgment call based on that. And it's like, bro, I mean, we were tactful about it, but... And like, part of me was like, I kind of wish I had said something, because dude, you only heard like the last part of it and you made a snap decision about it, you know?
Absolutely.
And looking back, it's like every generation's got this. It's not just, you know, boomers versus millennials or Gen X versus Generation Z. It's everybody. It's everybody. We've all, right. they, you know, they get set in their ways. We know how things are going, and you figure out life and you don't spend as much energy or time trying to figure things out. And that's natural. But the instant people stop communicating, the instant they stop listening, that's when problems start happening.
I agree 1,000%. Oh. And I think, and I've even had these conversations with my mom. I've had these conversations with just people I know from the older generation. This is apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
When you were going to school, people didn't die from heroin overdoses.
Right.
When I was going to school, and now the schools I'm in, they have transgender bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these kids are on Suboxone. I want you to think about that. There are transgender youth that take Suboxone. You can't even remotely compare this generation with the older one. And on top of that, these things called phones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like the technology, you can't even go to school now. So when I talk to the older generation, I make sure that they understand, come to the table humble, ready to listen, rather than come to the table with this way or the highway.
Right. A lot can change. I mean, especially with technology, a lot can change in just 5 years, much less 25. It's like,
it's a whole different world out here.
I know, right? I mean, there's stuff happening that wasn't even around a year ago. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember this kid in high school told me when I did my first high school assembly, I was like, what do you guys want to be? Butcher, flower shop owner, da, da, da. And they were laughing. They were like, I want to be a social media manager.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to step my game up because I'm still back in the ancient days. And now there's a whole different thing. So I learned real quick. They taught me. That's why education is about serving, right?
There we go. Yeah. You did some fancy footwork, huh? Code switching. You're like, oh, I gotta pick from a different set of things. Yeah.
Had to learn new dances about what's dapping and all this. I had to learn the word lit. I didn't know what that meant. Like, I had to learn all this stuff. I'm like, whoa.
Oh my goodness. Well, hey, TikTok is your friend. That's where I'm at all the time. And I learn all kinds of stupid dances and things. And Reddit is a good one too.
Yes.
I've learned all kinds of slang, and then I come and I share it with my wife, and she's like, where have you been? I'm like, the internet. Right. I love it. I love it. Well, so as far as business goes, I mean, so when did you start your business? I didn't even ask.
That's a good question. I always forget, to be real honest with you. I started my business in 2000. I do, because it's such a daily grind. 2018.
Okay.
I always forget. 2018, August, I started my business.
Nice. Well, like, if you can go back 5 years, like, what would you wish someone told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago? Like, get ready for what is it? And like, what do you wish somebody would have told you?
I definitely wish they would have told me how to speak the language of higher ed. I felt like that set me back a few years.
Right.
Also, how to write contracts. And just certain things like travel expenses, understanding what you can do on taxes, things that they need to change the public school system, but that's another conversation for another day. Things that you just don't know until you get in it. Also, who to trust, especially on social media. I have never had so many solicitations. What to put out there, how to manage your social media, how to look. Those type of things. Like, also, you know, once your money gets better, how to maintain your lifestyle or spend less. Because I had to learn, just because I make more money don't mean I need to spend more money.
Right.
Things like that. Also, looking up other people that are already doing what you're doing and seeing how they're doing it, but not copying what they're doing.
Right.
Those type of things, you know.
Man. There's a whole lot to unpack in there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, even 5 years ago, and I've only been doing this for a little bit more than 5 years. There's a lot of that I wish I would have learned. I mean, I can't go back and like beat myself up. Like, I get dumb 5 year younger me. You don't know what you don't know. Right. So, I mean, it's easy to be hard on ourselves, but we shouldn't. But it's like, yeah, looking back, it's like, it seems so obvious now. Like, of course, why would I not do that? Why would I not spend this way? Why would I not go out and do market research? Market research, that's a thing, you know? Like, that is a thing people do.
Absolutely.
So
there's a reason. We know that now. And I wish I would have knew, too. One thing I didn't know is there's a system to this.
Mm-hmm.
People already have this information, but they hoard it. Everybody's not willing to share it, because once you know it, it's over. Just like little things that like about the business of coaching, I had to learn. I don't have to take every speaking engagement. I used to think that everyone that came across my website, I had to take the Google Analytics of my website, knowing what people want to see, how to word my website. Those small things are so big on just a whole bunch of stuff, even down to emailing, how I word it, what I say, how I say it, all that stuff.
Man. It is. And it's all those little things together that build into a bigger thing.
Yes.
It's easy to get lost in the details, but it's also very comforting too. I find just getting in the weeds on things, but knowing that, these particular actions, these are driving toward a bigger goal. You know, I don't have to be all the way 30,000 feet all the time. I mean, sometimes I got to get in there and be a tactician, but
yes,
you know, instead of trying to do every little thing, like, oh my goodness, I'm doing all the stuff. It's like, focus on the things that really matter.
Yes.
So maybe it's just because we're getting older and we're mellowing out that we're figuring out how to manage our energy. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah. But me and my wife the other day, we were laughing. I didn't do dishes or something. And she was like getting on me, but I was like, well, if we're going to argue, you won. I'm too tired. You won. I don't even yell. And we laugh because we never argue. Like, we really don't. People think I'm crazy, but we don't. But I look, I'm almost 40. It's over. Like, yeah. I don't have it in me. You got it.
Oh, man. Oh, you're almost 40? You're almost 40?
Yeah, I'm 38.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm going to be turning 40 next month, man.
Oh, bless you. That 40 is different. Don't it feel 40. Different than 30?
It does. But, you know, yeah. I've been telling people, I'm like, I get to turn 40 this year. And yeah. I don't be like, I have to turn 40.
No, you know, get to. That's real. Yeah. That's real.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just getting warmed up, bud.
Yeah, me too. I feel like now I'm at the prime of my life.
Same.
And I'm so excited about it because I really believe if this would have came to me at 20, I would have blew it because I just didn't have the maturity or life experience to understand what it took.
I totally understand what you mean. I feel the same way about stuff that we got going on here. It's like just the timing of everything and where God puts us and mm-hmm. why we're here, when we're here, just mm-hmm. everything seems to line up. And it's like, you know, we're here for such a time as this. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. Well, dang, I hate to wrap this up, but I've got one last question for you. And then I'll let you get back to the rest of your day here. So like what really key advice would you give? Like if you had to give one tip to somebody just starting off being a business owner, mm-hmm. if they came to you and they were like, Frederick, help me out, fam. Like, what would you tell them?
It's a mindset. Let me give you an example. The other day I got asked, they said, Freddie, you know, what's your favorite speaking you've ever done? What's your favorite one? Here's the answer. The next one. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's the next one is because if that hunger ever leaves, I'm done. I'm always focused on the next souls that I can touch mm-hmm. because I don't want to touch souls I've already touched. If I can, bless you. But I want to touch as many human beings as I can. There's 7 billion people on this planet. Right. And I believe that at minimum, at least 2 billion of those people have dealt with mental illness or substance abuse of some way, somehow, some form.
Right.
So it's a mindset. Understand that every day you wake up, your mindset has to be the next one, the next one, the next one. And I think having a mindset like that allows me to email 200 schools and might only hear back from one. It allows me to do free speaking engagements because I understand it's not about me. It's about the product and that as long as I do what I need to, God's going to take care of me. It's a mindset. It's understanding that it's going to take time. It's going to take patience, but you got to love the journey more than you love the reward. I tell people all the time, you got to love the labor more than the fruit because mm-hmm. the labor is always going to be here. The fruit is just an increment of it. Learn to love the journey, love the process, love the emailing, love the being up late, love the no's. You know what I mean? When I get on the phone to school and they tell me no, I love that now. I attack that now. Well, thank you so much for taking time to listen to me today. If there's another way I can serve you in any capacity, please let me know. When I first started, I couldn't do that because you would hurt me thinking, oh, I'm not good enough. I learned it had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the speaking job God want me. When the ones he want me for, he'll put me on. So.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
No, it's really, really good advice. And when you said, when you were talking about loving the labor, not the fruit, I was thinking there's a good friend of mine now. We became fast friends. I love this guy. He's awesome. But he said the same thing. He said, learn to love the no. He's like, I love hearing no. And he's just like, ah. And at first I thought, well, this dude's crazy. Why would you love hearing no? But then he explained it. He's like, you know, when you let your foot off the gas because you're getting rejected, or you let your foot off the gas because, oh, I'm seeing results. I'm getting fruit. I can cruise. It's like, that is when you start to lose traction. That's when you start to lose that forward momentum and continuing to push forward and actually using that what people would think is negative energy as a fuel for yourself. He's like, there's no stopping you. So yeah, love the no, love the labor. Fruit's nice, but you know, keep working. You'll get there. And here's the secret, you'll get more fruit the harder you labor. Ho ho. But don't stop laboring. I love it. I love
it. Cultivating your garden really works.
Exactly. Exactly. Got to till that sucker and plant at the right time. How do people find you? Like, I want to get people like to come to you and be like, I need this guy to come talk to our school over Zoom or something.
Bless you. I'll make sure I send you whenever I get paid from that, I'll send you a nice dessert. I got to figure out what your favorite food is.
Oh, that is my currency. Chinese is my favorite
Chinese
food.
I got a Chinese spot around the corner from me. They're probably the dirtiest Chinese restaurant in town, but the way they season their chicken is nobody can do it.
I know, because they scrape it off the counter and throw it in there, man. I don't care. As long as I don't know how they make it, it's delicious.
I know they're dirty, but I don't care. I love them. I love them. I do. I would donate to their company. I swear I would.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, people can find me on The Message LLC. It's that simple. It's The Message LLC. You can Google that. That's my website. I just made some updates. I have my news segment on there. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. But the LinkedIn and The Message LLC, that's my website.
Nice, man. Nice. Yes. Well, I really appreciate meeting somebody else that cares as much about mental health as you do. Oh, and man. I wish you all the best. And I think you're doing some awesome things, man.
I just want to tell you, I think your platform and what you're doing is a blessing to the earth. I think the way that you approach it, I think the way that you have your platform out and how you allow people to share their truth is a gift. And I think if more people were like that, the world would be different. So thank you for empowering people. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, man. That means a lot. That really means a lot. I never thought that this was going to be what it is today. It started off like I was just ranting about things, and then I had guests on, and it just kind of blew up. I think you might be one of the, I think you're the last podcast of the season, actually. Oh. Closer. Hey.
Oh.
Here we go. Touchdown.
We closed it. Yo.
Yep. Yo. And we'll start up another one. We'll start up another one next month sometime, man. Well,
all right. Well, I'd love to be a returning guest if possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's another podcast I'm going to be starting that has to do with mental health. I think you'd be a great fit for it. So
we'll
get you on, man. Call you.
Yes. Bless you, brother. You're a good man. And safety to you and your family and blessings in my prayer. Thank you for all you're doing.
Awesome, man. Well, take care and hope you have a good rest of the day. All right.
Likewise. Bless you.
Yep. Take care. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.